Let's take our hymn book, turn to page number 30 as the choir comes down. Page number 30. Tell people that to get by with what I do, I told Dave that you surround yourself with talent. Well, I have talent here, but I don't have the rest of them here. So Chris bowed out and John, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They didn't own a house, no crib, no toys were waiting.
Still, they had their love
for the child they were anticipating. He was born one winter night on a road between two towns. They wrapped him up so warm and tight and said, "It looks like heaven's come down." There was a new star shining in the sky up above. By his light that winter night, they found peace and perfect love. Star is shining for us still.
evil trade was all they knew.
It was hard enough to make ends meet when they were only two.
But the cold, the dark, and hunger
couldn't take away their joy.
And she knew that they
would find a way for that precious baby boy. There was a new star shining in the sky up above. By his light that winter night, they found peace and perfect love. If we want to find it, I know we always will.
'Cause that
new star is shining for us still. If we want to find it, I know we always will.
'Cause that
new star is shining for us still.
Testimony?
I'm real happy with the outcome, but it blesses my heart to think about this special time and how I could not have given my only son for a bunch of sinners. I couldn't do it. So I appreciate what the Lord did for all of us,
right.
And I appreciate his blessings. I appreciate the talent that's here and how people use that to glorify his name. And I just feel real good inside this morning. I want to thank you.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? All right. We're going to, Pastor Jimmy's going to come. I'm going to ask Terry Haddix, would you pray for Pastor Jimmy as he comes to bring the message this morning?
Good morning. Where do we start this morning? I'm just feeling good, feeling great. And I tell you, when I feel good in the Lord, I start to cry. So I might cry you a sermon here this morning. Just bear with me. But my cup does runneth over. And you know, I was in the woods yesterday hunting. And as the day went on, my hope kind of got smaller and smaller for seeing the buck that I was trying to get. But I just kept thinking about all the ways I'm blessed. And I felt really good. And I'm excited about this time of year, too. You know, my daughter's in Girl Scouts. And somehow, we went caroling the other day at Edgewood. Sherry works there. And caroling there. And somehow they pegged me to lead the Girl Scouts and singing the song. So I'm up here with a folder, and I got all these girls up here. It's me and these girls up here singing. But, you know, we were singing Christmas carols, and I don't know what the background of the people in there listening. I don't know what their beliefs are, but some of the songs we got to share with them was about Jesus Christ and about how He's the one and He's the gift of the world. And I like Christmas because we get to share that message with the whole world. The whole world gets reminded again of the birth of Jesus Christ every Christmas. They might not be listening the whole time, but around this time, our songs get out there, our specials get out there, our gospel gets out to the world. And in a world that's godless a lot of times, that's refreshing. And it's just, I'm glad to be here. I'm going to try to get into the sermon. I'm glad for the visitors this morning. Got Hunter back there on our t-ball team that I helped coach with John. So it was good to see him. I started calling him Hot Dog Man. I don't know why, but we call each other Hot Dog Man, and it's good to see him this morning. So, but if you got your Bibles with you, it'll be in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We serve an exceptional Savior. And exceptional, I wanted to look at that word. Exceptional, it means extraordinary, rare, unprecedented, outstanding, remarkable, special, unequaled, phenomenal, and peerless. That is the God that we serve. That describes the God that we serve. Exceptional. There are no exceptions to His greatness. But I started thinking about the word exception and how it means that accept something. Certain things cannot be done except other things happen. And I got to thinking about that, and I looked up that word, and that word comes up a lot in the book of John. So I guess we could say John is an exceptional book. But I wanted to look at John 3 because there's a lot of examples of what I'm trying to get to this morning. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I want you to think about that word. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And it goes on to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I said all this because I wanted to get to the word exceptional and the word exception. And I parsed out some of these scriptures in this one chapter that have to do with that word. What I wanted to do is I wanted to see what exceptions there were and how that broke down. So what I found was in verse 2, it says, no man can do these miracles. And then it goes, except God be with him. And then it goes on in verse 3, it says, a man cannot see the kingdom of God except he be born again. Number 5, a man cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven except he that is born of the spirit of water and spirit. Verse 13, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven. And the same thing is except. And I got to looking at those, and I wanted to look at them without the exceptions, because I wanted to see what kind of condition we were in without the love of God and without Jesus Christ. And so if you read down through these and you take out the word except, you get some pretty miserable news. You get, no man can do miracles. You get, a man cannot see the kingdom of God. A man cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And no man hath ascended up to heaven. If you take God out of all those verses, then that's what we get. If you take God out of this world, then that's what we get. No man can enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you take Jesus Christ out of the equation, then that's what you get. You get, no man can do miracles. No man can see any healing take place. No man can enter or can see the kingdom of God. But when you add that exception, that is Jesus Christ, then all these things are made possible unto us. Isn't that a blessing this morning? The one exception is Jesus Christ. That's what I want you to know this morning, is that He is the one exception. You know, in the Old Testament, Moses asked, what should I call you? And he said, I am that I am. Because He is the one exception to this miserable world, this world that we have, the things that we have in this world. He is the exception to those things. And I want to talk a little bit about how this message came to my mind. I was watching a special, and it was about a man named James Arthur Ray. And I don't know if anybody saw that. It was on CNN. But it was about James Arthur Ray. He was the one that was a motivational speaker. And he's the one that, if you'll remember, several years ago, there was an accident with a sweat lodge where he had people in this sweat lodge, and they ended up dying because they were following him. They were following his teaching. They were following his message that he had, his message of hope, that a false hope that he was doing. But I was watching this, and I was watching, and I was just overtaken by how people can put such hope in other people, and how they can be so taken that they're willing to put their life at risk, that they're willing to go through and to go to the very edges of what they would normally do for certain people because they follow these people. And so I was thinking about this and how persuasive this man was, and how persuasive, and how he got so many people. And he not only got them into that sweat lodge, what it was just like this, if you can imagine, a little hut with plastic over top of it with one door, and it was only about this high. And they packed that full of people, and it was in Arizona in the middle of the desert. And they packed that with all the people. It was some kind of thing to where it was supposed to show them how mentally tough they were. It was supposed to show them. But he would pack that in the desert under that plastic. And these people, the women would shave their heads for him for total devotion. He had them wrapped around his finger. Anything he said, they would do. And so they went into these things, and they were miserable, and they were all packed in there together, and they were miserable, but he had them convinced that this was the key that was going to make them happy, if they could just get through this. And so they packed in there, and then they heated up these rocks, and they brought these hot rocks in there as if it wasn't hot enough. And so they were in there for hours, and they would go through different rounds of this, and then they would go in and pour a bucket of water on top of the hot rocks in this dome, and it would fill it with steam. And so, you know, it sounds totally, totally crazy. But these people were in there, and then it ended up that three of them died. But I was watching this, and I was thinking, how can people be so swept up in something that they think is the way? How can they be swept up in a man that tells them to do these things? And I was thinking about this and how persuasive people can be. And one thought just kept coming to my mind, because he ended up going to prison. And this special was about him coming back and trying to start it over again and trying to get more people to do the things after he had done all that. But one thing came to my mind, and it was the blind leading the blind, and that they both shall what? Fall into the pit. And there's destruction for both. And I started to think about all the people out there that are leading the blind, that they are blind themselves. And there are people out there looking for an answer. There are people out there looking for happiness. There are people that are looking for a way out of the world that they're currently living in. And what I see when I see this is, I kind of see this world as like a building. And one day this building is going to collapse. One day this building is going to burn down. And we have to, those of us that are in this building, in this world, we have to find a way out. We have to find the exit. And so we're looking and we're searching, and those of us who know Christ have found the way out of this predicament. But there are others that are looking, and there are people that come along and they show them a hallway and they say, "Hey, you're looking for a way out of this world? Here it is. Let me show you the way it is." And so they lead them down this hallway and they say, "This is the way out. Believe me, I've been there. I know what it is. And here it is." And there are people, whatever stage of your life, I'm not just talking about cults, but there are people, whatever stage of your life, that'll show you and say, "Hey, this is the way that you need to go. This is the thing that you need to try, because it's the way out of your troubles. This is the substance that you need to try, because it's the way out. Trust me. This is the belief that you need to try, because it's the way out." And what it is it's a trap. And there are people out there, believe it or not, who want to entrap you for their own good. You know, these people that went through this and that went to that sweat lodge, you know how much they paid to go out there and sweat in the desert in that dome? $10,000 a piece. $10,000. And so why was he doing the things that he was doing? For money. For money. So he was trapping people so that he could get money. But you know what the thing is? The thing goes, the blind leading the blind, and they both shall perish. Is that he is blind too. Because somebody came along and said, "You know what? If you can get all these people to do this, then you'll get some money." And who was that? That was Satan. So Satan was entrapping him to entrap other people. And they both went down. And they both went down. And that is how it goes. That is how it goes. So the blind leading the blind. Jesus Christ talked about the wolves in sheep's clothing. But I saw this man up on stage, and he was animated, and he was going, and I thought, well, you know, that's kind of what we do. We come up here and we speak and we talk. And so, you know, I was thinking, you know, he gets up there and he talks to people and he tries to convince them of things. And it's not much different than what we do, except we preach the one way, and the one way out is Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the big difference. We have nothing to gain from selling anybody anything. We have nothing to gain from standing up here and teaching something that would fool you or something that would cause you. There is nothing to gain. We're not in this for the money. We're not in this for trying to fool anyone. We're not in this for ego. We're not in this to try to fool anyone into living a lifestyle that would benefit us in any way. That's not what we do. And so I thought, man, what a vast difference it is. But the reason, the thing that makes us different, is the one exception. The thing that the world is selling you, everything that the world is selling you, is a dead end. Except for Jesus Christ. You know, I was thinking about the sayings that we have in this life. If it's too good to be true. And if these people would have probably listened to this, it would have served them. What did your parents always teach you? If it's too good to be true, it probably... Or, I'm sorry, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. You've been taught that? There's an exception to that. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, except for the salvation of Jesus Christ. How about this one? You can't trust anybody. That one's pretty true. I used to say this, you can't trust anybody. You can't even trust yourself. How many of you have been on a diet and tried to pass up a donut? Can you trust yourself? No, not all the time. You can't even trust yourself because we're human. But that saying, you can't trust anybody, has an exception. You can't trust anybody except Jesus Christ and God the Father. Amen? How about nothing in this world is free? For the most part, nothing in this world is free. But the salvation that comes from Jesus Christ is a free gift. And so there's an exception to that. And so I thought, well, what is it that we do up here? I know the differences between what they do and what we do. I just want to point them out because it would seem, some people would say, well, you just, you know, those people are just believing what you say. But there's a difference in what we teach and what we preach and what other people say. And I saw this, Isaiah 61, and it sums up why we do what we do, those of us who serve the Lord. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." That is why we teach Christ. That is why Sunday school teachers teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why preachers preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why gospel singers sing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is to bring good tidings unto people. It is to proclaim liberty to the captives. It is to open the prison to them that are bound. That is why we do the things that we do. And I want to finish with this because this puts it all in perspective. And again, this is in John. This is in John, which we've been all morning about the exception. And if this doesn't convince you, I don't know what will. But I want you to know, if you don't learn anything else, that there is nothing that this world can offer you that can save you. There's nothing that this world can offer you that can get you to heaven except through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is the exception. That is the exception. And I want to read this, and this is very striking, because people are looking. They're looking for answers. Before I do, there's a movie, American Sniper, and there was a good quote in that movie that his father had taught him. He said, "There are three kinds of people in this world. There are wolves, there are sheep, and there are sheepdogs." And I thought that makes a lot of sense. There are people that are out to get other people. And there are people who are followers, who are easily victimized. And then there are people who know the truth and who seek to protect the rest of the people. But there's an exception to that saying. There are wolves, there are sheepdogs, and there are sheep. But there's also a shepherd. A shepherd that watches out for us. But here in John chapter 10, it says this: "Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life." Boy, that sums up that guy I was watching last night perfectly. He stole their money. People got killed. And he destroyed lives because he was a sheep in wolf's clothing. He was offering them help, but what he was doing was taking from them. And in this world that's full of people like that, it's hard for us to trust in anything. But I'm telling you this morning, there is one that you can put your full trust in, and that is Jesus Christ. How do we know that we can trust Jesus Christ? You know what all these men had in common? Jim Jones, David Koresh, Charles Manson, all these people. They preached one thing, but they didn't do it themselves. You know, this guy would bring them into that sweat lodge. You know where he stood, where he sat? Right by the door. Probably so he could breathe a lot better. Probably so he would go out and get the stone so he could go out and have breath. So he was asking them to do things that he wasn't willing to do himself. And when people started to get sick, you know where he went? He fled. He fled. That is the difference between a shepherd and a hireling. A shepherd and a thief. The shepherd will not flee you. The shepherd will not ask you to do anything that he wouldn't do himself. Jesus Christ would not put on you something that he wasn't willing to do himself. And he proved that when he died on the cross. It says he sticketh closer than a brother. You know why? Sometimes something might cause someone to leave you, but Jesus Christ will never leave you. And he has access to you that no one else has. He knows your heart and he knows your thoughts. Nobody else. I can be your closest friend and not know truly what's in your heart, but Jesus Christ does. But I want to go on. It says, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. As we get a song, they're going to come up and get a song of invitation. What I want you to know is that in a world where it's hard to trust people, in a world where it's hard to know what is right and wrong, because there's so many versions, never before have we been in a time where there are so many different variations of right and wrong. Different variation of what's right and what's wrong. Now they say some things are right that were never considered right. And now they say some things are wrong that were never considered wrong before. And you know what I'm talking about. Up is down and down is up and left is right and right is left. We don't know where we're going. But there's a way that is truth. And that truth sets people free. And I'm here to speak of the truth so that you can be set free. I can't free you. If I could, you know what I'd do? I'd go along to everybody and I'd unlock the door. I'd say, here, you're free. You're free, you're free, you're free. I can't do that. I don't have that power to set anybody free. Pastor Al, we would if we could, wouldn't we? If we could save people, save everybody. But we can't do that. What we can do is we can tell you the door that you can take to be set free. That door is Jesus Christ. There's nobody willing to die for you like Jesus Christ. Nobody willing to lay down their life. There's nobody that loves you more than Jesus Christ. He is the exception to all these things we've been taught about being able to trust and being able, we can put our trust 100% in Jesus Christ and he won't let you down. He is the exception to the rule. And he said it themselves. There are people that will come in my name and will say, this is the right way and this is the right way and this is the right way. But you know what he said? He said, you'll know them by their fruits. A good tree doesn't bring forth bad fruit. And a bad tree doesn't bring forth good fruit. And so if it seems bad, look into it, and it probably is. But there is a way to be set free and to have life and have it more abundant. There's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. And that's what's so great about being able to preach the truth. It feels good to preach the truth and to not try to fool anybody. It feels good to preach something that you believe in because you don't have to fake anything. You don't have to act like something's good so that you get somebody's money. You don't have to act like something's good because you work for a company. Or because, you know, you don't have to try to tell people about something that you know they're false. I get to speak something that I believe 100%. I get to speak something that I can attest to personally in my life. Then I could say, you know what? This is what he did for me, and he'll do it for you. I get to use this. I mean, there's nothing else better than to be able to teach from this and to preach from this. I get the Spirit that helps me, the Holy Spirit that helps me to know what's right and what's wrong, and what should be said and what shouldn't be said, and what I should do and what I shouldn't do. I have convictions that say, you shouldn't do that. All of these things Jesus Christ has done for us. He is the exception in this world that is full of lies and full of deceit. Satan goes about seeking whom he may destroy, whom he may devour. He's like a lion. But if you know the truth, you've got a shepherd protecting you from that. As we get a song, we invite you to come. If you haven't found this way, then you find this way this morning, because it is the only way. Everything else is the blind leading the blind, and you'll just fall into the pit. This is the only way out of this burning building that we call life. It's the only way. As we get a song, and you stand.
I'll stay at your city now. Thank you.
young people, listen to your parents. Listen to your parents. They've been where you are now, and they've even gone down some roads that they wish they hadn't gone down. So they can tell you. They're not just making stuff up. Read your Bible. Read your Bible to know what to avoid and what to stay away from. There's going to be people that come along. Boyfriends, girlfriends, best friends, that try to tell you something. And if it's the wrong thing that they're trying to do, believe me, they're doing it for one reason, for themselves. So beware of those things. Beware of those things. Don't fall for the wolves that come in sheep's clothing. Know the truth so that you can avoid those things. That's the best advice that I can give you. And put your trust in Jesus Christ, because He is the only one that we can trust. He's the only one. And anything else before we dismiss? It's been a good place to be this morning. Amen.
I can tell you this, there'll be someone special here. That's the Lord.
Yeah, bless
you, Dan. I guarantee you that. So, I don't know who's preaching. I haven't looked to see who it is, but not don't come because of them or me or anything else. But I guarantee you the Lord will have something here for you. If you can come back, you can pray for us, all right?
Amen. Got a lot to pray about. We're going to dismiss. Les, sorry, Mike. Bless you, Mike.